You are at the spot, the location, your favorite podcast on the planet, the place where the conversations are pointed, the guests, there she is, are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today we have Lori Ellis Young. We're going to be talking about something called Ref Logics. We're going to be talking about her work in the nonprofit arena with young women. We're going to be talking about her book and some amazing fun facts. Can't wait to have this conversation. Thank you so much, Lori, for being here on the show with me and my brains. How are you today?
Great. Thank you, April. I'm delighted to be here with you.
This is amazing. So we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
April, I think from the time that I was very, very, very young, what I have been interested in is adventure and service. So that's how I want to live my life right now. I'm at the point in my life where, you know, so many dear friends have died and have passed. My parents have passed, aunts and uncles have passed. And I think about, you know, every day is just so precious. And what do I do want to do with my precious hours? And it is still to create adventure, you know, to be excited about living and to be of service. So.
Well, that's a beautiful goal and aspiration, because me too. I was looking at, yesterday was the anniversary, 3-year anniversary of my mother's passing. And it was heavy. It's heavy on my heart. You know, it was a beautiful transition, but I still miss her dearly. But I looked at a photograph of her and my siblings, and I'm the only one left in it.
Wow.
And it's a startling realization, because I know my number's up next.
What I opt to do is I
opt to take advantage of each golden moment. I'm not waiting for tomorrow. I can't live in yesterday. I have to take advantage of what's going on and enjoy it and tell people how much I love them. And again, be of service, because we're here, Lori, for only two purposes. One is to learn and the other is to teach.
I have never heard that before, but that is so true.
Where
did you get that from?
The brain.
Did you? Yeah, your brain.
Yeah. Well, I really thought about it. I was like, you know, really, what is my purpose? What am I here for? And I'm writing a new book, 365 days. It's everything that I've learned for a whole year. And if I could multiply that times 61 years, can you imagine the amount of knowledge that I hold? So what other people are doing. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do with Breath Logics. And what is Breath Logics?
Well, Breath Logic is a nonprofit. And I wanted the name to be Breath Magic. Mm-hmm. But my board decided on Breath Logic. And I guess that's probably better for the general public, and it's more brainy, because I know you like brains. Mm-hmm. So basically the premise is that if breath is life, which we know it is, it's the most important thing that we do is to breathe, but so few people put importance or emphasis on it. And if breath is life, doesn't it make sense, isn't it logical, that the quality of our breath directly impacts the quality of our lives? Mm-hmm. And it's physical, it's psychological, it's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual. And so my passion has been to work with sharing the extraordinary power that we have in ordinary breath, because I look at it as a superpower. That's why I wanted to call it Breath Magic, is our breath is our superpower.
Well, it was our very first gift, and it will be our very last gift.
Absolutely.
That was the first thing that was given to us, was breath.
Right.
You're stressed out. Breathe. When you're having a baby, breathe. When you're having an anxiety attack, breathe. When you exercise, breathe. The breath is it. And we do it unconsciously. We take it for granted.
And you know, April, something so important is people say, just breathe, which, you know, if you've been holding your breath, breathing anyway is going to be beneficial. But a lot of times for people who are stressed out or anxious, they will breathe. It'll be very shallowly in their upper chest. And instead of being calming or relaxing, it will continue to put that person in a state of anxiety with the sympathetic nervous system being dominant and fight or flight, you know, activated. So how we breathe is so important. And, you know, you just mentioned your mother. I was wondering, were you there when your mother took her last breath?
Absolutely. I laid my chest upon her chest. Mm-hmm. I felt her last heartbeats. She was here with me, and she gave me permission to stay, and I gave her permission to go. And it was, you know, and it was strange because I had to give her, you know, in hospice care, I had to give her morphine to help her relax her breathing. Scare me to death. I said, oh my God, I hope I don't overdose my mother. I was just, you know, I didn't know. But just how calming it was and how peaceful it was and how, you know, how hard it is for them to breathe. It's very laborious. But also the last breath, as you said, that's the last thing that you're going to get. That's the last gift that you're going to get that we know of here is your last breath. And people will say, you know, he took his last breath. Were you with them when they took their last breath? That is a transitional period. So do you actually in breath logics, do you teach breathing techniques? Because I do breath work, and I tell you, brains, it's amazing. It's euphoric. If you can do it right, there's great, I'm sure that Lori is a super fantastic teacher, but I do a couple on YouTube, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. It makes it very clear.
You know what? April, when I first started becoming interested in my breath, it was when I was 14, long time ago. And I discovered yoga from a book in a small town in South Dakota. I don't know how it happened, but I found it and I started reading it and I became aware that I was breathing, which until that time, you know, I wasn't aware. And so that helped me just to become more conscious and more relaxed and more present. And then I started trekking in the Himalayas in Nepal, right before I was 30. And that is when I really started to learn about the power of our breath for stamina. You know, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual stamina, it's all of it. And then I searched out teachers everywhere that I could find teachers, and there weren't very many at that time, and there were very few books on breath at that time also. And now, like you said, you can get on YouTube and you can find wonderful, wonderful breathing techniques. And I embrace all types of breathing because there's a time, you know, for different types of breathing. But what Breath Logic is focusing on is how to breathe optimally, moment by moment, breath by breath. Wow. You know, not specific situations, although we do focus on specific breaths for like sleeping, for anxiety, for fear of speaking, for, you know, numerous things. But it is really right now, how are you breathing?
Right.
Are you aware of your breath? Are you holding your breath? Because most people hold their breath more than they have any idea of.
They do. It's in that Let me tell you a couple examples that I've had with breathing is, again, with yoga. People are so concerned with looking at the other person and the poses. But if you connect to the breath, you're connecting to source energy. The body is very pliable. It will do what it can do if you concentrate on the breath. Also, sweating. When I am somewhere or I'm riding my bike, I want to break a sweat. I don't feel like I've exercised if I haven't. If I concentrate on my breathing and drink some water, I break that sweat. It is absolutely incredible. My husband was having problems sleeping at night. So we did the 4-6-4 breathing technique, and now he is doing really well. If you are constipated and you are on the throne, control your breathing, really. And I mean, like you said, from the abdomen, it will, if you inhale, people think that they have to constrict and get real tight. If you inhale, it expands your colon and your area, and it will be as easy as possible. The breath right. is amazing. But
also with that, to continue with what you said, is the natural expansion of the belly after you contract on the exhale and like squeeze the belly in towards the spine. That's where the breath work is. Because we usually have more control over our exhale than we do our inhale. Now, when you're doing that, you are massaging your organs of digestion and elimination, and you are not going to be constipated.
No, you're not. And I'm telling you, brave, it works. But one other thing that I noticed, I have sleep apnea. And okay, this was the deal. So I'd wake up and I'd be drooling. And I'm like, this is so unattractive. So I said, what is this? But what happened was I stopped learning how to breathe through my nostril and started breathing from my mouth. It's a huge difference. So once I got the sleep apnea machine, there was no more drool because I was working from inhaling from my nose, just like in yoga. Inhale through your nose, exhale through your nose, or exhale through your mouth and make the sound. It was right. a huge, now that's for me, brains, and you have to check that out. It was a huge difference. And so now, sometimes I don't want that ugly device on my face, but I am conscious of the fact that when I go to sleep, I am going to breathe in and out through my nostrils. We forget how to do that.
Right. Right. It's so essential. So essential to breathe through the nose. I mean, the brainy reason why is because if we inhale through the mouth, especially if there's, you know, if it's cold or if there is not pure air around us, we're taking into our lungs. It will cause illness and bronchitis or even pneumonia or colds. We have to have the air warmed, which is warmed through the nose and then the trachea down into the lungs. So,
people wonder why they wake up with dry mouth. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that we really, again, take for granted that we don't do. So let's talk a little bit about the work that you do with young women. Share that with us.
Oh, that has just been such a joy for me. You know, I mentioned that I started learning about breath when I was in my teens. And I wish so much that I had really understood more about my breath when I was really young. Really young, and more so when I was in my teens. I was so timid and shy and afraid to speak, and knowing how to breathe just empowers you. So the girls that I work with are girls of color in the Twin Cities, in the inner schools of the Twin Cities of Minnesota, and they're with an organization called Girls Taking Action, whose founder is Dr. Verna Price. And something I want to say is, in September, Mayor Adams of New York City made it mandatory that in every single public school, in every single classroom in New York, there would be mindful breathing daily.
Wow.
Because he knows how important that is for the well-being of the children. And then, of course, that's taken out into the entire educational institution. Well, Dr. Verna, 10 years ago, realized how important breathing in schools is. So we've been going into inner city schools for about 10 years now.
Wow.
And the Girls Taking Action has four mantras that all of the girls say. I am valuable. I am important. I am lovable. I am powerful. And if you think of that with the breath, I am valuable. If something's valuable, you pay attention to it, right? You treat it well. Taking time to breathe, to slow down our breath, to breathe deeper, to ground ourselves is treating ourselves like we're valuable. It's a kindness inside out.
Absolutely.
And then with the important, are we important enough to spend time on? Are we important enough to take time out of our day and practice our breathing? Practice different ways to breathe that strengthen our presence and our empowerment, our positivity.
Absolutely.
You know, positivity and positivity. And then also the lovable is, you know, when we work with our breath, we work with the heart. It's an anatomical given. The lungs embrace the heart, and it's physical. It helps our blood pressure. It helps our self-regulation. But it also is a way of telling ourselves in a cellular level that we love ourselves, that we are lovable, that we are worth the time. And then, of course, the empowerment is when we are more calm, when we are more grounded, when we are more conscious, we are more empowered.
Absolutely. Well, all of those
are
very valuable.
So it's just been so amazing to watch these girls.
And it's a discipline.
Change.
It's
mm-hmm. It is a discipline.
Discipline.
It's a practice.
It's a practice.
It's a practice. You must do it. And you must be it. It's actually not so much even, you know, the doing. We have so much to do. But it's when we integrate that doing into our way of being, so that just right now, as I'm talking to you, I am aware of how I'm breathing.
Oh, exactly. And I can hear it.
Yeah.
I can hear it as you speak, your voice inflection. We need to calm down, brains. Everybody is, almost everybody except for you and me, are on angst. I mean, it's fight or flight. Everything's just, I got to do it right now. Right? I'm in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. Slow down. These things are gifts that are given to us. You can't take it for granted. Just think back to the days of COVID when these people were on these respirators, or they couldn't get respirators, or their lungs were infected, or heaven forbid, someone that has, you know, asthma, severe asthma, or has other respiratory problems, CPOD. It's a lot of things. We take this breath for granted, and you really can't. You really can't. And I'm so glad that you have taken this into the inner city and working with a diverse group of young women that may not have had this opportunity or have the access from the person like you that has traveled around the world and has so much experience. So thank you for that. This is going to teach them to be a better young lady. It's going to teach them to be more conscious and valuable about the decisions that they make. They will remember these techniques when they become a mother. You know, so you are doing wonderful work, and I thank you for that. So you've taken the work with the breath, the work with the young women, and you've also had time to write a book. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, the book is Breath is Life, Taking In and Letting Go, How to Live Well, Love Well, Be Well. And I wrote it with my husband, who is a psychologist and a post-conflict psychologist or trauma expert. We have lived around the world, we've been able to work with diverse populations on five continents, April. So he is absolutely almost as impassioned as I am with how breathing awareness, simple breath awareness and breathing techniques can change people's lives. So everybody that he works with, he shares the breath with. And most recently, we were 4 years in Ukraine. Before the invasion, he was hired by an organization called OSCE, Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. It's like a little sister to the UN. And he set up a mental health program for over 1,500 peace monitors from all over that were along the border of Ukraine and Russia and also different places in the country. And what I would do at the trainings is I would teach breathing techniques, practices to be proactive rather than reactive to stress and trauma. And we've continued, started teaching, sharing empowerment with the breath for mental health, for well-being with populations locally and then online. So then that went to dozens. And then we were asked to do an online training with people who were interested that included military, that included mothers who had lost sons and refugees and even teenagers were on there. And they then went out after being certified by Breath Logic. They went out to share with hundreds, and now it's even gone into the thousands of people, Ukrainian. It's that they will not give away their mental health. That's one thing they can keep. They might have lost their homes, they might have lost family members, they might have lost a lot of other things, but our mental health is so connected to our breath. So the book, we wrote most of it while we were in Ukraine. And what's interesting, you know, it's blue and yellow. And that was just kind of a fluke. The person who did the cover for us just got it in a meditation, and yet it's the colors of the Ukrainian flag. So the book is filled with stories, April, because I think people learn best through stories, right?
Yeah, they do.
And there are our stories from working with many different populations. Like I mentioned, the girls taking action, but also a group of girls that I was able to work with that was just so amazing was when we lived in Cambodia. Girls, young girls, April, that had been rescued from brothels.
Oh, yeah. The human trafficking is huge.
Some of them had been chained to their beds. And if you can imagine how, you know, broken they were and disconnected from their bodies with what they had made to do, what they had experienced. And a woman who taught a very vigorous yoga worked with them for 2 years. And I worked mainly with, you know, the mindfulness and then laughter yoga. In the beginning, there was no way they could even close their eyes because closing their eyes was too painful and vulnerable. And so after 2 years, they were able to reclaim their bodies and reclaim their bodies as a sanctuary. And I think that's one of the biggest things with what we share in the book are so many different techniques for so many different people, whether it's young school children or elders, is how do we experience our bodies, our connection of body, mind, and spirit as a sanctuary when there's so much craziness out there, whether it be war, politics, or illnesses, or climate change, or whatever, that we can have a respite inside ourselves.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, it's...
And it's fun to read. It's George is scientific. He does the neuroscience, but he does it in a way that is easy to read. And
okay,
the brain. So I'd like you to imagine this now as I read this: the brain, the breath, and the heart go into a bar, a juice bar, that is, to discuss which one of them is the most important for a human's health and well-being. The brain and heart nod to each other with assurance that, of course, it has to be between them. The brain orders a triple wheatgrass, makes his voice deeper, downs it and thunders, "I am the brain. There is no contest. I am the body's control center, and I command everything." Thrusting its arms overhead in a victory position, the brain roars, "I am the most important." The heart, mindful of all the plasma it pumps and loving the color red, orders the tomato beet juice and sweetly declares, "Oh, dear brain, you are magnificent, truly wonderful, popular, powerful. I just love you." The heart demurely sips its drink and rhythmically continues, "But with all due respect, I am the body's center and motor." The heart gently but courageously affirms, "It is I who am the most important." Sipping from a glass of oxygen-rich water, the brain sighs, a long, deep, breathy, slow sigh. The breath loves to sigh. Ah. Dear brain and dear heart, you are both remarkable and so significant to the well-being of each and every person. However, desiring to prove its merit without words, the breath puts down the water and silently heads out the door. With the absence of the breath, soon the brain can no longer direct, focus, or relegate bodily functions, and the heart, waning in strength, courage, and compassion, begins to palpitate. Together they panic, gasping with a regretful realization of how for so long they had underestimated the breath's significance. "Breath, breath, please come back," they beg. "You are vital to everything we do." Having anticipated this reaction, the breath readily returns, beckoning the brain and heart to come forward, and whispers, breathily of course, "I'll share a secret. It's not just that I am your fuel and energy source, essential for your functioning. How well I function determines how well you function." The breath humbly sighs, "It is true. I am the most important."
That is awesome.
I guess that came thinking of you with your brain.
Absolutely, because it's everything. It is absolutely everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. April, it just helps us do everything better, helps us sleep better, helps us think better, helps us remember better, helps us do everything better. So one of the things that's so important with Breath Logic, we have four areas we work in: humanitarian, education, and we've worked pre-K all the way through post-grad. Corporate and business, and also medical. We've been in many clinics, many hospitals, and wellness places of all different types of wellness, whether it be community centers or hospices or yoga centers. So it's across the board.
You are doing amazing work, absolutely amazing work. And I thank you so much for taking the time to help us catch up and get with our breath, find the synchronicity, find the pleasure, get back to, you know, just simplicity. Appreciate that, because we cannot take it for granted. Please. So, Lori, you and your husband have done such amazing work. I want people to be sure to connect with you. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, social media, your platforms, if you have any current offerings, and how to purchase a copy of the book.
Okay. Well, we have two websites, breathlogic.org. And on that website, we have free tutorials and information, a lot of information about what is coming up. I also have a personal website, which is breathethechange.com. And I do retreats yearly in Guatemala, which is just a fabulous, fabulous retreat time for enhancing your well-being along with having a beautiful cultural experience. I have a Facebook, Lori Ellis Young, and we are starting to have more presence on Instagram and TikTok with Breath Logic and Breathe the Change.
Well, I'm excited, and I'm going to talk to you offline about this thing. I've never been to Guatemala, South America. So that might be something I can plan for. Absolutely. How long is the retreat?
Well, it's actually it's a three-part. It's a seven-day in a place called Lake Atitlan, which is just a world-class retreat center in this place that's a Mayan paradise with three volcanoes that rise out of a lake and Mayan Indian villages around the lake. And just, it's high enough that there are no mosquitoes. And
I was
going
to ask you that too.
It's beautiful. It's truly one of the most beautiful places I've been to in the world. And then we have an add-on prior to, in the charming, enchanting colonial small town of Antigua. And then afterwards, there's an add-on to the spectacular Mayan ruins of Tikal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's an offering that's, yeah.
We'll post
it's
that on
very
our, is it men and women or just men or just women or?
You know, usually there are more women, but there are definitely men that are attracted also.
Because we all need to inhale the energy of one another. Thank you so much, Lori, for being here on The Edge. Brains, just stop and catch your breath. Go in, love, like, share, and subscribe. Leave a comment. If there's any questions that you have, I'm sure that Lori will definitely come back and ask you. You want information on how to purchase the book, I'm going to provide that in the show notes, as well as how to get in contact with her. You've been a wealth of information. I've enjoyed you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, April.
Have a good day, brains.
I love it.